Well, as we continue this journey in the Christmas experience, we're going to look at kind of the main figure, one of the main figures in the Christmas story, the one who brought about the conception of Jesus, the one who was full of grace, the one who was to bring the coming of Jesus. Now, you're probably thinking that's Mary, right? We're going to talk about Mary this morning, but actually, the one who brought the conception of Mary, the one who is the giver of grace, and the one who sent Jesus is God. As we go through this series, I want you to remember that God is at the center of the Christmas experience. Today, we're going to see through Mary the amazing favor of God, the grace of God. And I want you to see through Mary's own experience the favor of God and how you and I today can also experience that same favor, that same grace upon us, and also to see how we are called to respond. I think we can learn some things about Mary and how ultimately she remembered it is God. God was the one that was overseeing all that she was going through. And so let us also, even as we start, to remember that it is God who is at the center of the Christmas story. Now, many of us know a lot about the Christmas story. We know about Mary. But, you know, sometimes kids, as they're learning things, probably like some of our teachers right now are teaching, you know, the Christmas story. And there was one Sunday school teacher who was teaching the Christmas story. And basically, one of the kids had the kids draw a nativity scene. And so the kids began to draw this. And one youngster did a great job. He drew the baby Jesus. He drew Mary and Joseph that were there, and of course the animals that were around there. But the teacher noticed that he also had this kind of another person kind of right off to the side, kind of a little short fat man. And she went and she said, "Jimmy," now I want you to know this is not my story, okay? It's not personally about me. I just want you to know this, okay? Something similar happened, but this isn't what happened. She said, "Jimmy, who's that little fat man by the manger? Is that Santa Claus?" Jimmy was indignant. He says, "That's not Santa Claus. That's Round John Virgin." For those who know your Christmas carols, you know, he heard that. He knew the Round John Virgin was a part of that story. Well, as we look at the story, we want to make sure you're not too confused. We want to look and see here how Mary, how she experienced, what was her experience in this Christmas experience. So look with me at Luke chapter 1. A lot of this is familiar. We read it probably every year, but you know what? There's some new things as well as some old things that we can be reminded of. So let's look at this, verse 26 to 38. Let out a little bit. "In the sixth month, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, 'Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you.' Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, 'Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will be with child and give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus. And he will be great. He'll be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David." We talked about that last week. "He will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end." Wow. "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I'm a virgin." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Matter of fact, even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age. And she who was said to be barren actually is in her sixth month. For nothing is impossible with God." Look at Mary's response. What is she? How does she respond to all this? She says, "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May it be to me as you have said." And then the angel left. We see here twice, it says the angel says, "God has found favor in you." We see the word favor and favored. "Greetings, highly favored one. The Lord is with you." That's the NIV. Another version, maybe you learned this if you're younger. One other version says, "Hail Mary, full of grace. The Lord is with you," right? It's interesting, this Greek word can be translated blessing, favor, or grace. That whole idea of God's work in your life. That literally means one who has been filled or given grace. God has shown his grace. He's showing his favor to Mary. And here's something I want you to see as we talk about God's favor. And I think it should be, it's true for every single one of us if we actually look at it, is that God's favor, God's grace is both surprising and powerful. It is surprising and powerful. But as we think of this word favor, you know, it's kind of an old-fashioned word. You know, a lot of times we use favor, we think of something that, you know, somebody's doing us a favor, doing something, you know, nice for us. In a sense, that's where that word came from. But here, that's why I think sometimes it's even better the word grace. Grace. When we think of the word grace or God's favor, what does it mean? We all know the word grace, but what does that mean? Undeserved kindness. There's that undeserved love, undeserved care, God's work on our behalf. So when you think of God's grace, you think of something that is undeserved. Mary was a recipient of God's favor. It's a goodness that we don't deserve. It's a kindness. And nowadays for us, it's a salvation. It's a forgiveness. It's kind of what we celebrate in communion. All these things are part of God's favor or grace to us. Grace was pretty surprising to Mary, right? I mean, you look at this particular scripture here, and there's a lot of surprising things that happened. Mary had received this favor, God's grace. He says, you're going to be the mother of the Messiah. You're going to be the mother of the Savior, this one who'd been promised. God, as we saw last week, had been spending centuries, literally, preparing for this moment, right? He'd been preparing for this moment to send his son. And now he's going to save the world through a simple, poor, teenage, unwed girl. I think there could have been a lot of other people that I probably would have chosen, right? Somebody who may have had some stability, somebody who had some life experience, maybe somebody who had already raised a child, kind of knew how to do it, someone who was married. We see the surprise, don't we? She was surprised, and we should be surprised whenever we experience God's grace and his favor. You see, favor. Grace is at the center of the Christmas story. As we go through this series, I want you to have that in mind. Think of, as God does all these things in different people, whether it's Joseph or the shepherds or the wise men or whatever, you know, all these different people, how surprised they were of God's grace upon them. God was extending his grace to Mary. Why? So he could extend his grace to you and to me. This child to be born of Mary would be grace incarnate, grace shown to the world. His message would be a message of grace, right? His life and his death would be an act of grace, undeserved love. It was demonstrated, think about the people that Jesus hung around with the most, was usually what they would call sinners. Now, we all know we're all sinners, but maybe the religious people, those who went to church, as we would say, didn't think they needed that. They didn't realize that what they received was undeserved as well, the grace that God offers. God has always been showing his grace. And the Christmas spirit experience is all about God's favor and grace. And we see it this morning with Mary. Let's take a moment and let's watch a scene from the Christmas experience that talks about this grace, this favor of God upon Mary. To come before God, we must experience His favor. We must experience His grace. Tim Keller, one of my favorite authors, a pastor in New York, Brooklyn Tabernacle, Christ Redeemer Church. He shares this about the surprise of grace. He wrote this in one of his books. I would go so far as to say that this perennial note of surprise is a mark of anyone who understands the essence of the gospel. What is Christianity, he asks. If you think that Christianity is mainly going to church, if you think it's simply believing a creed or living a certain kind of lifestyle, then you would probably have no note of wonder or surprise about the fact that you're a believer. Matter of fact, if someone were to ask you, are you a Christian? You may say, of course I am, and I work hard at doing it. Christianity from this view is something done by you. And so there's no astonishment about being a Christian. However, if Christianity is not something done by you, but rather something done for you and to you and in you, then there will be a constant note of surprise and wonder. Do you experience that surprise and wonder in your life on a regular basis of what God has done for you, what He is doing for you? If you are, then you're understanding grace. If not, then I would challenge you to stop and think about who's really doing this. Are you simply doing religion? Or are you understanding the grace of Jesus? God's grace is truly surprising, but it's also powerful. It's powerful. The plan of the angel unfolds for Mary. It will have to happen quite literally through a miracle, right? It's going to have to happen through a miracle. And she asks the question, how is this going to happen? Says, I'm a virgin. And what was the angel's response? You remember? Nothing is impossible with God. When we experience God's favor and grace, we see that ultimately nothing is impossible with God. When God wants to use someone for His purposes, it often seems impossible. You ever tried something that God asked you to do and you thought, I can't do it? And yet, by God's grace, He gave you the power to do it. It'll often seem impossible in our own way, but God's power will be within us to make the impossible possible. God encourages Mary's faith. God always encourages us, doesn't He? When He calls us to do something that's beyond us, He encourages Mary. How? He shows her Elizabeth, her relative, her older relative that she'd known for years. Elizabeth, who she knew couldn't have children. They had tried for years and had never had children. And now that she's past the age of even the possibility of having children, the angel says to Mary, your cousin, your relative, Elizabeth, is pregnant. You think it's impossible for God to cause you to be pregnant? Well, let me show you an example of someone else that God has done this for. Nothing is impossible with God. God's grace is surprising, but it's also powerful in our lives. God does amazing things. Sometimes He even does miracles, as we see here. Let me share with you about a missionary. His name was Ian Hall. He tells the story of a Romanian woman named Christina Argilana, who he met during a preaching crusade when he was in Romania. In March of 1992, he says, Christina was in the hospital with an ectopic pregnancy. Before she even learned she was pregnant, the fetus had died and began to decompose in her body. And Christina was not expected to live. She was close to death because of this. My wife Sheila and I went to the hospital to pray for Christina, to pray that God would heal her. And God healed her, he says. However, in their attempts to save her life, doctors removed most of her uterus and one ovary, and they told her she would never be able to have children. Well, Christina's strength returned, and by May, she was back at church. And he says, I was holding another series of meetings there at the church, and she and her husband, Stefan, came forward for prayer. And they asked, they said, will you pray that God will give us a child? And see, he knew what she was asking, because they were trying to adopt. And so they're asking, would you help pray that God would help us to be able to find a child, to adopt a child that needs us? And of course, he said he would. He says, I began to pray, but suddenly I found myself praying this. And I said, in 1 year you will stand in this place holding a son born of your own body. He finished praying. And after they had separated, his wife came up to him and said, why did you say that? You know she can't bear children. You really put yourself out on a limb there. And he said, I knew my predicament all so well. He said, I didn't know why I prayed that. It astonished me as much as anyone else. But that's the words that God put in my mouth. That year, he says, I returned to the area from time to time, but never saw Stefan or Christina. Or when I did, they never mentioned a baby. Although I was troubled at first, in time I stopped thinking about that prayer and that prophecy. But in May of 1993, I was conducting services in that Chipalong church. The pastor announced that a baby was to be dedicated and informed me that I was to pray for this child. I had no idea who it was. As I looked over the congregation, I didn't see anyone with a baby. Then from the farthest corner of the church, you guessed it, he says, I saw Stefan and Christina approaching and holding their son who had been born 6 weeks earlier. God had done a miracle. And through God's favor, you see, through this miracle, the whole church and many outside of the church began to understand the favor of God, the grace of God. They began to understand that nothing is impossible with God. And God worked in that area through that circumstance. God had told Mary that she was favored, that God's grace was upon her, even though she didn't deserve it, right? There was nothing special about Mary. Nothing special except for, as we'll see, her willingness to follow God no matter what. You see, the important thing as each of us receives God's favor is open to all of us. He offers it, right? His grace, his love, his forgiveness, as Bill talked about. But in each of those, as God offers his grace, there must be a response, right? There must be a response. God's grace is something that must be accepted and trusted in. Just like a Christmas gift, we often talk about that. You can give a gift to somebody, but if they never open it and use it, it's worthless. It's still a gift, but they've never responded or received it. God's grace is a gift that must be accepted. Out of all the women in the world, literally the world at that time, why did God choose Mary? Well, I think part of it is because he knew her response. God knows, right? He saw her heart. As we're going to see here, her response was pretty amazing. Mary's response to this unfolding plan of God, what did she say? Do you remember the words? She said, I am the Lord's servant. Mary was a simple, she said, you know, I'm a servant. She was a humble servant. Mary declares that she's willing to serve God no matter what. I'm not sure she understood all that she was going to go through, but she knew it wasn't going to be easy. She says, you know what? I'm not in control of my life. God is in control. And it didn't make total sense to her, but in humility, she was willing to walk that path. She was willing to trust and obey God. You see, humility, humble service to God continues on even when we don't know what that next step is, doesn't it? Even despite the fears, despite the reservations, to follow and serve God doesn't mean we're not going to have fear. I believe Mary had fears. But rather, she also knew who she put her trust in. Even as a young teenager, you don't have to, you know, grow and become, you know, 30, 40 years old before you have a deep faith. This young woman, probably at the age, most believe, 15, 16, maybe 17 at the oldest, had a deep faith, a trust in God. It was a humble faith in the Lord. You know, years later, Jesus would teach his followers. We see it in Matthew 20, 26. He says, whoever wants to become great among you must be your, anybody know the answer? Servant. I believe Jesus saw this example in his mother, Mary. And it started, as we see, when she was a young woman. Look at another response of God's favor and grace that Mary shows. Luke chapter 1, 46 and 47. It's the beginning of her song. It's called Mary's Song. But look at the beginning of it. And Mary said, my soul praises the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God, my Savior. Mary's response to the Lord's favor is that she delighted in her relationship with God. She said, God, my Savior. She had a relationship with God. She knew that this treasured child that was going to be born was from God. I don't know how much she understood, but she believed. She knew God. She had talked to God many times before. She knew who and whose she was. Did you get that? She knew who she was, and she knew whose she was. She was God's. Do you know who you are? Do you know whose you are? Do you belong to God? Have you given your life to Him? She says in humble confidence, I am the Lord's servant. See, people of grace know their identity. They know their identity in God. For us, we know our identity in Christ if we've trusted in Him. So we don't try to be something that we're not, right? You don't try to be something that you're not. You don't try to impress everybody else out there to try to, you know, be part of the world and part of, you know, God's family. It's interesting. Part of our, you know, we see our motto here, part of our mission statement, to be delighting in God. Mary was delighting in God. She had a relationship with God. There's no way she can say these words if she doesn't, right? She says, I rejoice in God, my Savior. She had a growing relationship with God. And it's interesting, she responds, secondly, she says, may it be to me as you have said. May it be to me as you have said. Or maybe another way we could, like, I think she basically was saying the same thing Jesus said, your will be done. Same thing Jesus said in the Garden of Gethsemane before he went to the cross. Mary's saying, may it be to me as you have said. In other words, your will be done in my life. Wow. Even at a young age, in her teens, Mary is willing to submit to God. Her life, her future, right? Her future. It wasn't quite the way maybe she expected it. I mean, she was certainly preparing to be married. She had been betrothed to Joseph. She certainly wanted to have children, but not right now. May it be to me as you have said. God's grace and His favor must always come with response and with responsibility, even when He calls us to do difficult things. And it's not just something for Mary, but really it's for anyone, any one of us who have received His favor of having that heart, that attitude to humble ourselves before God, right? May it be as you say, God. What kind of attitudes, what kind of behaviors can we learn from Mary? The first response of God's grace always needs to be humility. Humbling ourselves before God, right? When we learn to live in humility, we see our identity in God. We see our worth comes from God, not from what other people say, not from our job, not from our position. Our identity worth comes from God and not from anything that we have done. In humility, we come to terms with our true identity, not thinking higher of ourselves than we should, but also not thinking too low of ourselves, but rather seeing ourselves for who we are. We are children of God. If we have received God's grace and favor. In humility, we recognize, again, it's not our own efforts that bring us God's favor. He doesn't treat us as our sins deserve, right? But gives unmerited favor out of His love. That's grace. That's the Christmas story. That's the Easter story. That is the story of Christianity, of Christ, of Him showing favor. So here's a question. Do you have that attitude of humility ready to follow God wherever He leads? It's an honest and heart-searching question. It's not a flippant question. It's an honest question that each of us has to wrestle with at different times in our lives. Am I willing to follow God no matter what? Because following the Lord isn't easy. You know, Mary twice, right, says, you are favored of God. God has looked down on with you favor. And yet this favor did not mean a life of bliss, but actually a life of risk. I don't know about you, but especially when I was a new Christian, I thought, well, now that I'm a Christian, life should go easy. I got God on my side. Life should go smoothly. You ever had that thought? Many of us think of having God's favor means life's going to be easy and we get everything we want. That wasn't the case with Mary, was it? Are you and I willing to do God's will even when life is hard? I've seen people humble themselves and willing to do God's will even in tough circumstances. Many of you have done that and are doing that. I've had friends and people in church over the years who have faced difficult issues, whether it's health issues, whether it's relational issues of somebody that's, you know, basically making life hard for you, and yet you still choose to follow God. Those who haven't been able to have children and yet still trust God. Others realize that to humble ourselves to do God's will is going to cost. Jesus said, count the cost. If you're going to follow me, count the cost. And sometimes that cost, it costs us time, right? It costs us energy. It costs us financially. Sometimes it can even cost us, in a sense, reputation of what others think of us. It certainly meant a lot for Mary and Joseph and what they had to give up in many ways. And yet, if you were to ask them, and someday you can, was it worth it? And they would say, absolutely. Many of you could answer that same way right now. How is God calling you to follow him and his will for your life? It's different for each one of us. God kind of calls us in different ways. Mary's story was unique, right? From many others who were following God. And yet God gave his favor to her in that way, just like God has shown his grace to us. For us to truly follow him in his will, we must truly delight in God like she did. To say, I praise you, God, my Savior. My Savior. Is he your Savior? Is Jesus your Savior? If not, he can be. You know, it's like Bill said, that forgiveness is there for anybody who will accept it. And that's a message hopefully we can share in different ways even during this Christmas season. You know, part of this Christmas season, part of leading up to Christmas is to offer ourselves to God, as Mary did, to once again commit ourselves. Mary was a recipient of God's favor, of his grace, and she was willing to serve and do his will. So that, you know, that's a great example to us. Even as she said, I am your humble servant, can you say that? Are we willing to say, I am a servant of God? That's how we respond. Are we willing to serve God right where he's placed us? Many of you here have jobs. Many working outside the home, and you have a job, the place that you work. Are you willing even this Christmas season to serve those around you? To look for ways to serve? To go above and beyond? To show Christ's love? Or maybe are you willing to have a servant heart in your community? Maybe you don't work and you have extra time and look for opportunities to serve those around you. Maybe it's serving your neighbor or a friend or a relative. Maybe it's inviting one of them to church. You can serve them by what? Praying for them as we do, right? Praying for your oikos, for your relationships. Investing in their lives. You know, I've seen so many people who are investing their lives, who have that servant attitude. And I mentioned a few, and this is not to separate them, but you know, just people that come to my mind. You know, I think of Mike and Desi. Many of you know Mike and Desi, who serve in so many different ways at Jubilee Food Pantry, Kingdom Kids, Sunday School. You know, I think of someone like Anita Whitehead, who helps organize and buy food for our backpack buddies and make sure that kids are given these meals so they can have food on the weekends from our church. We see men from our church who set up and take down every week, week in, week out. Servant heart. And I could mention so many more. Yesterday we had an opportunity to thank many of our men for the service that they do for our church. What has God called you to do, though? What has God called you to do? And not just at one place, not just at church. It's great. We are called to serve in church. But what about at work? What about at home? How will you serve your family? What about in your community? Are you open to his voice in your life? And willing to say, here I am your servant. I am your servant. Maybe he's calling you to step out in a new area. I don't know what that area. Maybe he's challenged you to, you know what? I want you to step out in this particular area working with children in some way. Or I want you to step out and to serve your neighbor. Or I want you to step out and instead of always being served by your spouse, why don't you learn how to serve them as well? It's different for each one of us. But here's the question. Are you open, first of all, to hearing God's voice in your life? But then also, as you hear that voice, willing to serve as he calls you to do that. God has given us his favor, his grace in Jesus. I hope that's surprising to you. I hope that even as we come to the Christmas season, and even as we go to Thanksgiving, that you're surprised at how blessed you are. How many things you have to be thankful for. It should cause you to wonder. We use that word wonder. In other words, be surprised. Do I deserve any of this? Not really. And I'm so thankful. But not only to be surprised, but then to experience the great power of his grace. The power of forgiveness, but then the power to go out and to serve him because of what he's done for us. God's favor, his grace is at the center of Christmas. So how will you and I respond? I want you to think about that. Even this, will you, like Mary, humble yourself before the Lord and say, I am the Lord's servant? Will you receive his grace as a humble servant? Will you be a servant of the Lord? I hope that you will. Because it is truly, a blessing. It is truly a privilege to experience God's favor.